welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
So we have a running joke on Dense Pixels about, can we please stop talking about Cyberpunk 2077? Because it's constantly in the news, and the news is never good. Joe Manchin is my cyberpunk of politics.
That seems about right. So much promise. Such massive failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get right into it. Folks have been asking, where is Andy? I don't know her, so sorry. No, in all seriousness, he's taking his time, joining the 1%. He's buying a house. So,
yeah. He's
a little
real internet.
Yeah, he's going to have real internet, guys.
City net.
Yeah, it's not going to take him 7 days to upload his sign of the episode. So he'll be back probably July. So, I mean, that sounds long, but it's already the 22nd or 23rd, I think.
That's true.
So, yeah, he should be back in a week or two. All right. So, yeah, we do have plenty to talk about with two excellent clips where we're going to break down some interesting right-wing rhetoric. It is fucking fascinating. It is fascinating. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's jump right in. First story, Republicans do exactly what we knew they would on voting rights. Write down party lines, 50-50 split, but not enough votes, obviously, in the Senate to overcome a filibuster threat, because it's not really a filibuster.
Well, and this is just for – this was just for cloture. Like this is just to get it to the floor for debate. Like that's what Joe Manchin wanted to do. He's like, surely I can find 10 Republicans that will debate the merits of this. No, not a one, even, in fact.
No.
Not a single one.
And so, yeah, this killed the For the People Act to even get to the floor, as Brad said. So no one is surprised what the Republicans did, right?
No.
Except for Joe Manchin. Surely. I thought it'd be 60-40. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So the question now is, what does Joe Manchin do? You think,
let me rephrase that.
What do you think Joe Manchin will do?
I mean, his stance now is pretty indefensible because his whole thing is, well, we should debate this stuff and we should argue about the contents and this, that, or the other thing. And he's not wrong. But if one side's not even willing to come to the table, then you have two choices now at this point. You can either not let any of the legislation pass through, or you can do something about the filibuster. Like, those are literally the two choices that you have, and whether that thing is a carve out for this bill specifically, or bills like it, or, you know, just napalming the whole thing, which I don't think is going to happen. You have to do something. Because what you said was going to happen, oh, there's 10 people that'll vote for themselves and at least vote to hear debate on this, is not going to happen. Clearly, right. It's not going to happen. We got to see that.
By the way, if I were Republicans, I mean, they could have done what they did, and they're going to get the same result. But it would have almost been better to have 10 Republicans vote to have the debate, and then Joe Manchin's like, see, and then crush it later, right?
Like, well, but the problem is they can't do that, because to do that would allow the merits of it, because then they'd have to actually have to argue
which
against what's in the bill, which they can't do because it makes them look fucking terrible to do.
Right,
that, so.
Because, I mean, this week McConnell is very craven, as everyone knows, but McConnell is literally just arguing against reality. He's like, no, the For the People Act will do all of these things that basically the state legislatures are doing, right? Like, he's just wholesale lying and trying to reverse course, with reality, which is really, again, this comes to a shock, comes as a shock to no one actually paying attention, but yeah, that's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, so yeah, like Mitch McConnell's out there saying, oh, there's no concentrated effort to suppress voting in the states right now, and I'm just like, literally, look around you,
like all of the red states are doing this.
Yeah, like
all
that. That's not a of the many disingenuous things that Mitch McConnell has said in his life. That might be the most disingenuous.
Well, that in. No, surely I wouldn't block someone from getting a SCOTUS. see, that's crazy. Come on. No, it's fine. So here, let me propose something to you, which I think is, is something I was thinking about. Republicans regain control of the House and Senate in 2022. Sure. This is a nightmare scenario.
Right.
They regain it, but they only regain it as a 51 regain it 51-49, right?
Right?
And so things are pretty narrow. Obviously, they are within, of damage from a filibuster, right? Filibuster threat from the Democrats on anything. Do they nuke the filibuster? Let me rephrase that. They get themselves in the same exact situation the Democrats are in 2024, right? They get their guy in, whoever that is. They are now in control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. They have a 50-50 majority with the vice president breaking the tie for them.
Mm-hmm.
Does Mitch McConnell nuke the filibuster?
That's a tough one, right? Because for them, so like, first of all, like the chief Republican asset in Congress and in federal politics, at least, is laziness. Like they don't like to actually do anything, except for confirmed judges. And they already nuked the filibuster, you know,
to do that.
Yeah. Well, actually,
well, they don't need
Democrats
to.
Did that. But, you know, and then they did it for SCOTUS. So they like doing that, which is a thing. What legislation do they want to pass, though? Like, that's the thing. Like, all the stuff that they care about is tax-related, which they can do through
reconciliation,
and they only need 50 votes for that anyway. So, like, I don't think they will, because it's better for them to keep it in place. I think if there was something that the Republicans really wanted that they could achieve and they'd have to nuke the filibuster to do it, then yes, absolutely, 100%. He would nuke that shit in a second and then put it back in place, like, before the next Democratic Senate.
100%. 100%. 100%. That is the correct answer. Oh,
yeah.
We have to protect the guardrails of democracy. Right.
But like I said, I just don't think that there is anything for them to need to pass that would require them to get rid of the 60-vote threshold for legislation.
Right. No, that's a fair point.
Because we're lazy. That's why they didn't do it when Trump was around. They could have done it when Trump was around and killed the ACA if they really wanted to.
Yeah, but they don't have a replacement. They don't have a replacement.
Yeah, I mean, about that.
I know.
The private market, Jay. The private market will cure all the ailments.
Yeah, all right.
It'll
cure all the ailments.
Yeah.
Right. Boy, were we so much better before the ACA when it comes to medical treatments and insurance. So it'll be interesting to see what Joe Manchin does. Again, if the thugs of news had their own press pass, it would be my first question. So, yeah, you really made you eat your own shoe there. What are you going to do about it?
It would just be you in the back of the scrums shouting, like, what now, Joe? What now? Just screaming at him. Like,
we're talking all that shit last week.
Like, what happened? All the like legit reporters are like, who the hell is that? And someone's like, oh, it's TON. Like, oh, thugs of news. Oh,
oh yeah, that was good. That makes sense. Classic. Classic. We're sitting behind The Blaze and fucking OAN. We're coming for you.
Yeah, we could fist fight whoever they sent in front of The Blaze. I don't think anyone that Glenn Beck is hiring is gonna be too much to tangle with.
No, that's true. No, I mean, The Blaze, OAN, Newsmax. Yeah, no, we let's rumble. Like, you should have to physically fight for those seats. I'm not even really worried until we get to, well, no, what's the name left for CNN, right? He's no longer a White House correspondent. He was the only one I was worried about. That guy
Jim
from Playboy.
Yeah, Jim Acosta's not there anymore?
No, I think he's done with his White House run. He's still at CNN, but I think he's done with that. Oh. I mean, that guy got abused for 4 years.
But why would you leave before getting to go to the plum gig presidency now, where you can ask real questions and get real?
Yeah, it's boring.
From
it's
real
boring.
Press secretary.
Nah, it's fucking boring.
Instead of getting shit on constantly.
Shut up, Jim Acosta. All right, fuck. I'll say. Yeah, Joe Biden should just start calling Jim Acosta out. Yeah, I see your boy ain't here. What happened, huh? Can't handle it? I like Jim Acosta, man. He did a pretty good job for 4 years.
He did.
He got treated like shit, but he went – I mean, never forget, his first day he went to battle – like, he went to war with Trump. Day one of being press secretary. It was awesome.
I mean,
being in the press pool.
He got to be, like, the central figure that got beat on, so everybody else could ask their regular questions, I guess. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the guy from Playboy magazine, I can't remember his name. He did really well as well. It's all about the articles, guys. Next up, I wrote the title just because it'll like I can't put this on anything outside of our webpage, but it says, it turns out Tucker Carlson is a flipping idiot or thinks you are. I wouldn't have used flipping, obviously. That's not who I am as a person. So, okay, Brad, you have not heard this clip of Tucker Carlson.
I have not.
Okay. So let me set this up a little bit. Tucker Carlson's whole thing is that he's been pushing a conspiracy theory. Because that's what it is. This is not an actual, like, legitimate analysis, like, by a news person. This is a bullshit conspiracy theory that, incidentally, makes no sense. That the unindicted co-conspirators on January 6th, in these January 6th cases, were actually undercover FBI agents, thus proving that the FBI are the ones who set up the January 6th insurrection.
So the FBI, who was run by the Department of Justice, that was overseen by the Attorney General, who the current president at the time, who was Donald Trump, decided to put in place.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, just checking.
So we're going from rogue lunatics who believe your bullshit rhetoric around the country to your own Department of Justice.
Right.
Tried to overtake the government.
With Donald Trump's FBI director also still in the FBI.
Right. Interesting.
Okay.
Makes
total sense to me.
Right. Like, flawless victory there, Tucker Carlson. So Carlson, he goes, I'm going to play this clip. And what we're going to do, we're going to play a little game. We're going to play the clip, and I'm like, anytime Brad wants me to stop to say something about this clip, so you stop, I'll say stop if I want to stop and make a point, because I think it is incredibly important to listen to the words that Carlson uses and the leaps in logic that he uses to create what seems like stone cold facts. Like, so, in this Washington Post article really does a good job of pointing out the bullshit. Like, it's fascinating.
I'm going to – so we're not on video. Like, this is not a video podcast, but I'm still going to prepare myself for listening to a Tucker Carlson rant. Ready?
Yeah. Just staring aimlessly into the abyss. God, this guy's a fucking asshole. Let me see if I can make sure I can make this happen properly. All right. So here you go. This is him talking about, quote, Insurrection Day.
Actually, every single case, they were FBI operatives. Really, in the Capitol on January 6th. For example, one of those unindicted co-conspirators is someone government documents identify only as Person 2. According to those documents, Person 2 stayed in the same hotel room as a man called Thomas Caldwell, an insurrectionist.
Stop.
A man alleged to be a member of...
No shit. Like why would... Like, you're going to the fucking... Oh, we're going to the insurrection. Let's split a hotel bill. No shit.
Right. Like... Like, that doesn't prove anything.
That,
like,
that happens all the time. That's literally at any work conference that, right. that anyone goes to. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Bulletproof, Tucker.
Of the group, the Oath Keepers. Person 2 also, quote, stormed the barricades at the Capitol on January 6th alongside Thomas Caldwell.
Proving what you just said. another fucking guy.
Yeah.
Right? But why is he an unindicted co-conspirator?
Yeah.
Well, Brad, hold on. You'll find out.
The government's indictments further indicate that Caldwell, who, by the way, is a 65-year-old man.
Why is that fucking relevant? You can still be an insurrectionist at 65. Jack LaLanne used to pull tractor trailers at 75. Get the fuck out of here.
That's
like,
true. That,
like, this is what I'm talking about, the rhetoric. He's 65. So what? Feeble age.
The chief insurrectionist was 74.
Right. Go down there. I'll be in front of you. Maybe not. I'm tired. I'm 74. 65. That's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Like, oh, old grandpa with his worth his originals went down there. Surely he wasn't guilty. Fuck off. That's stupid.
This dangerous insurrectionist was led to believe there would be a, quote, quick reaction force also participating on January 6th. that quick reaction force, Caldwell was told, would be led by someone called Person 3, who had a hotel room and an accomplice with him. But wait, here's the interesting thing. Person 2 and Person 3 were organizers of the riot. The government knows who they are.
Yeah, the government knows who they are because they're cooperating and they want to shield them from for repercussions. Like, this is not an abnormal situation at
all. That is correct, by the way. Because the article goes on to be like, here are three reasons why someone is an unindicted co-conspirator. Number three is they're working with the government and they don't want to give their names away, thus fucking up their investigation.
As they say, they are turning state's evidence, as the phrase goes.
No, obviously an FBI agent, Brad. It's the only option is that they're the FBI.
But the government has not charged them. Why is that? Because you know why. They were almost...
No, whoa, hold on. Because it's important what he just said. Check this out.
Why is that? You know why. They were almost certainly working for the FBI.
What logic leap was that? You know why they were working with the FBI. Says who? What the fuck?
He just leaped across. Let's take this.
You know why? I'm watching the news. I don't know why. I'm watching the. It's the FBI. Well, obviously.
Yeah, I do know why they're not charged because they're cooperating. Like it's
right. It's obvious.
It's a simple explanation to a simple fucking question.
No, Brad. FBI agents. You know why. I love that. You know why. Let me fill in the blanks on a thing neither one of us know. Like, I'm on TV, Tucker Carlson. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about either. Well, like, again, he's not dumb. He thinks you're dumb. That's the thing.
Yes. Like he's just appealing to all the fucking Nimrods that are watching his show that are conspiratorially minded anyway.
Right.
And so the you know why is just baiting them for the hammer that he's going to drop. And then as soon as he says it, he's inceptioning the thought into their head.
Right. Like, exactly. You know why. And then the hallway starts twirling around and he's like, FBI agent.
Right. FBI. And they're like, yeah, I did know that.
I did know that.
You're right.
I'm smart just like Tucker's smart.
In my subconscious. Like, I didn't realize I knew it until now, but it was buried deep within there.
Yeah. I'm a thing for myself, or kind of.
Along with the fact that I need to reconcile with my father to sell my farm.
So FBI operatives were organizing the attack on the Capitol.
Stop. Now it's a fact. It's a fact. He made it up. Now it's a fact.
On January 6th, according to government documents.
That's not true. That's not true. According to government documents.
If you're wondering how Q believes the shit that they believe,
this is it.
Or any conspiracy, this is the developing of a conspiracy theory in real time, like what you're listening to right now.
Yeah, it's actually, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's actually fascinating.
He's literally workshopping it live on the air, essentially.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
And those two are not alone. In all, Revolver News reported that there are, quote, upwards of 20 unindicted co-conspirators in the Oath Keeper indictments, all playing various roles in the conspiracy, who have not been charged for virtually the exact same activities. And
stop. 20 unindicted co-conspirators, they're like, oh, this is like a government thing. No, you know what that reads? Yo, there's 20 people squealing like shit. Yeah. They don't want to go to prison for the rest of their lives.
Like, there's literally historical analogs to this that are really easy and apparent. And it's like, it's the mafia. Like it's the same fucking thing where you have the guys that did crimes, but they're willing to rat on the higher ups or the other people that are beside them.
You
don't indict them. You shield them. You get their evidence. They go on. You know, they testify as an unindicted co-conspirator, or they give evidence as an unindicted co-conspirator, which you then use against the other guys.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That way you can put some people away for, like, life, or, you know, we wouldn't execute them because we're fucking cowards. I think people should swing for it, but that's on me.
And again, just because these people are unindicted now, this is just because they're rolling up everybody else. That doesn't mean that their plea agreements aren't eventually going to lead to them pleading to
lesser charges, to
some punishment. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You get, you know, and we'll talk about the first sentencing he has come down for one lady. But they might plead I'll take, 3 years in prison instead of 30, or 5 years in prison instead of 50. Like,
by the way, can you imagine like Matt Al or fucking like Hayes. Chris Hayes or Don Lemon or any of those guys like quoting a source, like a left wing version of Revolver News as a source in their big like headline report?
By the way,
yeah.
Do you know who runs Revolver News?
Oh, I can only guess.
Well, Brad,
is their last name Mercer or or something along
well,
those
Brad,
lines?
Well, Brad, you'd be happy to know that Revolver News is a site run by Darren Beatty, who appeared on Carlson's show shortly after that particular monologue that we're listening to. If that name sounds familiar, according to the Washington Post, it's because Beatty is the former Trump White House speechwriter who was fired in 2018 over a past appearance on a panel with a white nationalist. So, yeah.
Great sourcing. I guess Stephen Miller wasn't available to.
Right. Why don't we ask Trump's old speechwriter if this is legit? Shut the fuck up. All right. So here we go. We got a little bit more.
In some cases, much, much more severe activities as those named alongside them in the indictments.
How do they know that?
Right. It's
if they're unindicted co-conspirators. Yeah. You don't know who they are. You're saying they're unindicted co-conspirators. How do you know they did more serious things? You have no clue.
Plus, also you're so like, I guess the whole point of this like theory that he's trying to spin is that like the people that are being charged were entrapped, I guess. Like, is that ultimately like what he's trying to.
Right.
What he's trying to argue so that they shouldn't be held responsible for what they did. Because by going through this and doing like by saying, oh, like these FBI guys spun them up and did this thing. Like, you are acknowledging that these people did the shit and that they're guilty.
Right.
Of the crimes that they're being alleged to be charged with. But that's just not their fault because the FBI made them do it. Like, that's
a bad theory.
Stance to argue on either.
Well, and like, OK, if the argument is like undercover cops tricked my guy into doing crimes. It's like, yeah, your guy's still in trouble. And guess what? The undercover cop is not in trouble. That's their job.
Yeah.
like you said, this is just a bad theory. But again, trying to push it onto the DOJ, Trump's DOJ, makes no sense. That makes it actually a worse conspiracy. Like, you're like, okay, cool. I'll take your word for it. It was the DOJ that did it. Cool. So why don't we arrest the president and Bill Barr too?
Well, Bill Barr wasn't there, but you can arrest.
Fuck it, do it anyway.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? Christopher Wray, you got to go to jail too. And I think that's more of what he's aiming at, is to try to fuck up Christopher Wray than anything else.
Well, because we know that the Trump land doesn't like him.
So. Yeah, that's it. That's all it is. They're not really thinking about like, okay, well then, like then the president is like double guilty, dude. Like, what the fuck?
Double guilty.
That's right. It's a classic legal term. Double guilty.
It's the opposite of double jeopardy.
Yes. Like, no.
You're so guilty. We're gonna charge you the same crime twice.
Like, but that's double jeopardy. No. But this is double guilt. It's fine. It crosses double jeopardy out. That's how it works. All right. So 25 more seconds.
Huh? So it turns out that this white supremacist insurrection was, again, by the government's own admission in these documents, organized at least in part by government agents.
Literally, it did not say that.
Yeah, not at all.
Are you shocked? We're shocked. We shouldn't be shocked.
I'm shocked that you think that this is not complete bullshit.
Because in March, the FBI director admitted that the Bureau is infiltrating as many dissident groups that oppose the regime as it possibly can.
So
that's like the thing that he's using to tie everything together. But those two things are mutually exclusive ideas. Like, yes, of course, the FBI infiltrates white supremacist groups. They're the police.
They're supposed
that's what
to.
They do. Yeah. Right.
Well, and his face in that clip is like, and they're getting inside of these white supremacist groups. Like, yeah. Yeah, no, I know. I want them to do that. I want them to get inside, gain their confidence, and then arrest them.
It's no different than the CIA, like, trying to get into terror cells and stuff like that, is because that's how you find out information from the inside. Like, this is not new. This is not fucking rocket science. Like, go watch any serialized crime drama, Tucker Carlson. Like, and you can learn everything you need to know on a base level about the criminal justice system.
Again, man, I just found that to be some of the most interesting shit I've ever heard. I'm like, wow. Like you said, he's workshopping it in real time.
It's no wonder that there's so many people that fucking buy the shit hook, line, and sinker. Because if you're kind of stupid to begin with,
yep,
and you have this guy who purports to be a smart person spin these kind of yarns for you, then yeah, no shit, you're gonna believe insane nonsense. Why is it that all of these insanely wealthy, rich ass white people on the right are just so involved, like so obsessed with grifting the shit out of everybody else? Like what? Like if I'm a regular dude, just in general, why would I trust Tucker Carlson? The dude's a fucking like he's the heir to a fucking family fortune.
Yeah, the Swanson family, the Swanson Foods people.
Yeah, like he's literally done, like he hasn't done much for himself over the years. Like he didn't used to be so far right wing until he realized there's money in this. Like,
yep.
People whose ideology like shift hard suddenly should not be trusted. Like if you're batting on that side of the fence, I think the same thing about people who go from being rather, you know, relatively moderate to shifting like hard left. And then all of a sudden are profiting from it. Like, oh, no shit, you believe this now because you want to get rich off it. Like, believe the people who have been consistent in their views. And I'm not – and consistent doesn't mean rigidly the same. Like, you can evolve and shift on issues. But, like, Tucker Carlson used to be, like, a very moderate Republican. Like, when he was doing fucking crossfire with Paul Begala and then got his pants fucking pulled down by Jon Stewart, like, he was just a regular fucking – right wing guy. Like he was like a Bush Republican.
The bow tie days. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like under Trump, he becomes this like fucking hard right insane person. Like, no. Like there's a grift. That's a grift happening in real time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the more fascinating ones that I've seen over the last couple of years, and I feel like a lot of people caught up in the last maybe year has been like Matt Taibbi and Glenn Greenwald. Like, those guys, man, it was like, cool. Just a hard move. Just a hard move to the right. It's amazing to watch. I'm like, oh, that's where the money is.
Yeah.
Got it. Like, I don't understand why people ever thought Glenn Greenwald wasn't anything but what he is, which is just a Russian asset. Like pretending to be, you know, like pretending to be very thoughtful. He's not. He is an all or nothing guy. And I don't trust anybody like that. I just don't. Well, America's done bad things. Yeah. No shit, Glenn. Yeah. Grow up. Like we know we live here. You don't even live here. And you're like, you're casting dispersions from afar. Like you guys are really bad. Yeah. We know that, dude.
Yeah. I get that. But in a bit of fairness to him, I'm also going to need Joe Biden to not get up on a fucking podium and be like, can you imagine like if the U.S. fucked with people's elections? Like,
yeah, I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up about that. All of Latin America's
actually, Joe, I can imagine.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a banana republic? No. Okay, cool. Don't worry about it. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. I mean, Kamala Harris didn't do herself any favors. We don't have it on the docket this week. Hey, don't come to America. I was like, don't say that. That was dumb. So
context, you need context behind that statement, Kamala.
Yeah, that's going to hit you right in the face, dude. And it took like 4 seconds. Like the second she said it, people on Twitter were like, type. Let me cut out all of what she said and just play that clip. Like, nah, don't do that. That's a bad idea. And then she got suckered by the Republicans. You haven't gone to the border. Then she goes to the border. And they're like, I can't believe you're going to the border. They don't react to them.
Yeah, just ignore them. You're gonna do. Do what you're gonna do. They're gonna complain no matter what.
I say that. Just say that. I'd be like, yeah. And if I go to the border next week, they'll complain about me going to the border. What do you want me to do? Or actually say it and then go and then watch their reaction. And then, because they can't help themselves, they'd have to complain, right? Oh, she's there. They're so pissed. And I'd be like, yeah, remember? Here's a clip of me saying it. Like, here's a clip of me saying exactly what I told you they would do. Yeah. Like, we know how they react. I don't understand why Democrats don't do that more. Like, Just call them out on exactly what they're going to do tomorrow. Be like, I'm going to say this, and they're going to go exactly the opposite way. You want to bet? I'll see you tomorrow. We'll see. Because they can't help themselves. And if you call them out and they don't say anything, then you win. And if they do call you out, you still win. Like you do, right? It's like nothing was more embarrassing than when who was it? Was it Jeb Bush called out Marco Rubio for saying the same statement? You know, Barack Obama doesn't know what he's knows exactly what he's doing. Like that, he kept saying that same rhetoric, and they were like, "You keep saying that," and he was just like, "Oh, yeah." You just embarrass them. You have to embarrass them in ways, like real personal ways. All right. So the first sentencing from January 6th insurrection is now official. A grandma, as they like to point out, as if I give a fuck. Anna Morgan Lloyd pleaded guilty to a single charge of illegally demonstrating in the Capitol building and was sentenced to 3 years of probation and a $500 fine. And she has to do 120 hours of community service. Frankly, I think you should have to do if you're going to give that lean of a sentence, I think you should have to take 120 hours of American history. That's what I think you should have to do. Like, honestly, because there was a lawyer for one of these insurrectionists that said that she's been giving remedial American history lessons to her clients because they know so little.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you there. Can we at least do 5 years probation so we don't get a repeat of this shit in 2024, please?
Yes, and I would say that you're not allowed to own guns. Sorry. Boom. You lose your ability to own a gun. Like, done.
Unfortunately, I think that's a state. That'd be a state issue. So I don't know if you can necessarily probably do that in federal court. So.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But no, I would just be like, nah, it's cool. Don't worry about it.
Apparently, and I feel like we're going to be seeing this a lot, according to prosecutors, it says that her initial bravado was, quote, appeared to have been tempered by a realization of the consequences of her actions.
Yeah, you think? Look, I know people are pissed about this, and I personally think this should, like, again, I can't help but see things through the lens of race in this country because I'm a black man in America. But I think the fact that none of these motherfuckers have gotten felony murder charges is bullshit. I think that should have hit every single one of these motherfuckers who walked through that door. Every one of them.
Think of all the additional cooperation you could have had if you charged every single person with felony murder. Like, what do I have to do to get out of this? I'll even make shit up.
That's
right.
I don't
even care.
Donald Trump told me personally, he called me and told me to storm the Capitol. Here is a videotape of it. No, I think you should have threatened them with felony murder. I think you should have. Because there is no fucking way, had this happened and it was a bunch of people of color and some of these Capitol police had been killed during the event or died of their injuries, which is what happened, to Sithwick, I think his last name was. Mm-hmm. There is no way that they would allow that to slide. It's not. Is this just not? Like, you can try to convince me of a lot of things. You will never convince me that they would have given anybody fucking probation for 3 years and let them walk. No way. It would have been harsher than this. So, that's one thing. The other thing is, look, I think at least a year in jail. Mm-hmm. At least a year in jail. Look, I'm not even mad if you say that you don't get to come out until after the 2024 election, frankly. Sorry, that's not my problem. That's your problem. Like, there's 500 people who've been indicted. We have room for 500 people in federal prison. I assure you we can make space. Yeah, it wouldn't bother me.
We don't have enough room. Cool. Let's pardon these guys that are in there just on like possession charges then.
Yeah, no, let them out.
For possession weed.
Yeah. Like, they didn't try to storm the Capitol.
Yeah.
they knew what not to do. So, yeah, look, you're going to see a lot of these, right? Cause you're going to see a lot of people who are like, hey, I came in and I took a picture with, you know, at Pelosi's lectern or whatever. Like those people are going to get off.
Yeah. It's a bunch of people that have no prior like criminal background that, you know, got caught in a bad situation, essentially.
Right.
Got caught up in the mob.
Right. Sorry, man. I thought it was a party. Right. Like those people taking selfies and shit like that. those people are not going to do it. Not any real time. Like, they're not. And they should, in my opinion, but I'm not surprised that they're not. The people that you're really waiting on here, you're waiting on those, like, the Proud Boys. You're waiting on those Oath Keepers, like the guys breaking the windows, the guys standing next to Babbitt when she was shot, like, trying to, like, break in. The people, you know, calling for, you know, trying to kill Mike Pence. The guys walking around with the zip tie handcuffs and shit like that, with all like black on. Those are the guys that you're going to see like real. If those guys don't get real time, then we are in a world of fucking trouble. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think those Oathkeeper guys are going away for a long fucking time. I don't think they're fucking around with them.
Let's hope.
You should.
Cause fuck these guys.
Yeah. Like this one should be a fucking slam dunk. Right. For Merrick Garland in the Department of Justice, this one should be easy because he is doing a lot of shit that I personally do not agree with. But throw in the book at those guys should be simple. It should be simple. Look, the fact is, if this was 1864 or whatever, your ass would have swung for this shit. Like, this is not even a conversation. You would have swung for it. So or at least you should have. Although one could make the argument the civil plenty of people who were Civil War, you know, generals for the South didn't do any time. They didn't, you know, they didn't
like I said, letting these people off lightly would actually be quite on brand for America. So.
Yeah, it would be. By the way, you can draw a direct through line from what happened after the Civil War to this.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Because 100%, if those guys,
because you emboldened, like, when you didn't have real consequences for these assholes that were running the Confederacy, You just emboldened them to take steps that would lead to Jim Crow and things of that nature, which then eventually led to the Civil Rights Act, which began the slow process of progression, which eventually got us Barack Obama, which then got us Donald Trump. So
right. So, yeah. No, I mean, if there was any moment in American history that I could change besides slavery, you know, whole cloth, it would be to change the outcome of the Civil War as far as what the North did afterwards. Cool. Hey, you lost and you tried to destroy the country. Hey, come over here. I had these gallows we just built for your ass, and line those generals up and hang them. That's it. Sorry. Not sorry. Yeah,
we should play that game. So, like, yeah, everyone likes to play the game. Like, if you could, you know, get a time machine and go back to like 1931 Berlin, and you kill Hitler, like, what would happen? Like, what happens if you go back to 1865 and stop John Wilkes Booth from popping off?
Yeah, that's it's an interesting question. Like, I really don't know, right? Like, Lincoln finishes his term. Does he, you know?
Well, you don't get Andrew Johnson. Is the whole point of that?
Right, right. That's true. That's true. Yeah, I look. I don't know, but I think they should have swung. I really do. I think it would have done the world better to say this is unacceptable. Because look, ain't none of that, like, part of that the South will rise again shit is because you left those generals alive. The right. South ain't rising again if you fucking
Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee should not have been, you know, able to relax into their old age and
no way, dude,
retirement. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, the South will rock. Click, boom, done. The South will do no rising. The floor dropped out. Sorry, that is over. Right, because then people would have a very different perspective. Like, oh, this is, you know, we made, you know, our ancestors did this thing. It was, you know, we lost and it was probably fucked up and they shouldn't have done that. They used to have people who were like, oh, we're, you know, the Southern aggression or whatever, or excuse me, the War of Northern Aggression. You still have that, but you wouldn't have as much.
And it's funny because that is not a process of thought that we apply to anyone but ourselves. Cause I just got
absolutely
done listening. That's absolutely to, I just got done listening to Slow Burn. And listening to how
they
covered the Iraq War on this season. And so they, and especially like the Bush White House and like the thoughts and the decisions that went into that. And like just listening to their plans, especially like Rumsfeld and what they were going to do about like, okay, cool. So we liberated Iraq. Then what? And Colin Powell's like, we need to help them install a government. Rumsfeld's like, we don't need to do any of that. Like, they'll figure this shit out. Just fucking take everyone out of power that was in Saddam's orbit and just let the other side run, roll free. Like, that's what we're going to do. And that's a terrible fucking idea. Like, you have to, you have to give those people who are then displaced kind of something to cling on to.
Right.
But again, like, if it's other white Americans, like, oh, well, we don't want to put them out. Like, you know, they're Americans, guys. Like, no, actually, they're Confederates. No, they're Americans now. Like, we're all big happy family again. Like, we had a fight. It's good.
Yeah.
Like, everything's cool now. Everything's cool now. Hey, we can keep oppressing. Like, we can't enslave them, but we can keep oppressing black people. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Look, we've established a new line. And as long as you just arrest them and then put them back into slavery, it's fine. Right. But I mean, even, you know, you're talking about like when the North had a bunch of, Northern military in the South after the Civil War, and then Johnson pulled them out.
Yeah.
Right. That mattered. Right. Like, that super mattered because it was actually keeping shit in line.
Right.
But the second he did it and said, hey, don't fucking worry about it. You guys are all right with me. Because I'm a fucking segregationist. Yeah. Then shit went back, not quite back to where it was, just slightly better.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah. So again, I will take the hard stance that we should have murdered all of the Southern generals. All of them.
Yes. 100%. Yes.
Hard stance. I know I'm alone. Hard stance. We should have killed all the insurrectionists. You don't have to kill all the troops, right? Because that's like a lot of countrymen. Like, who's got the time? But like the big dudes, like, hey, that's good. There goes Robert E. Lee. Hey, come here. I want to talk to you for a second. Like, no, that guy's got to go. He's got to fucking go.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is that like, so like, it's a weird comparison to make because the degrees, well, no, actually the degrees of injustice are not that far apart considering, enslaving someone and killing them is not that far off from or the other thing. So like Germans in after World War II, like were fucking cowed as a nation. Like all of their military leaders were imprisoned or executed basically. Yep. And that taught Germany that like, holy shit, we really fucked up. We can never do anything like this again. Yep. And Germans have a very honest look back at that history and still to this day feel a tremendous amount of shame about it. Like they're still very ashamed of that past. Right. Go find a Southerner that's fucking ashamed of like a good old boy that's ashamed of Confederate history. They embrace that shit. They still fly the fucking flag.
Right. Even in states that were not Confederate states. Which
right.
Is wild.
Like that's the difference. Like that's the difference. Like you can either have like German Reconstruction or you can have the last 170 years of American history.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't really, we don't do well in making conservatives
introspection.
Well, not just introspection, but we don't do a very good job of holding people's feet to the fire, especially when it comes to conservative white people in this country. We don't, Like absolutely. We're literally watching them try to workshop that the insurrection wasn't that bad. Like, surely it wasn't that bad.
I mean, we're still seeing it with like all the debates, and I'm using the term incorrectly as the people who argue against it are using it incorrectly, but all the debates against critical race theory, which is not at all what's being debated.
We're going to talk about that today.
Right. These are people that don't have any introspection about American history. Like people that will stand up and say, oh, America is not a racist country. Like, again, the people were literally in bondage when the country started and stayed that way for 80 years. Like that. You can't say there that America doesn't have a racist past when slavery existed.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
That's an insane statement to make.
Again, I don't think this guy is a good guy. But he's not wrong about this joke. Louis C.K.'s joke. He was like, how long was slavery again? And people were like, I was like 400 years ago. He was like, no, it very much was not. It was, it's two 70-year-old women living and dying back to back. That's how long ago it was. It wasn't that long ago. Like, it's not that long ago. Like, we talk about it as if it was thousands of years ago. It wasn't.
And again, if you count the time, the colonial period, which you have to because, again, it existed.
Right.
America has been a slave nation for more time than it has not been a slave nation. Still.
That's correct.
To this day. Like that's still a fact.
Right. Look, we just finished recording a preview episode for Black and Black Cinema about Juneteenth. And we touched on critical race theory a little bit, like, you know, like white people like flipping out about it. And
yo, people go to jail arguing this shit. And as many Hassan said, people are going to jail to argue something that with a gun to their head, they could not accurately describe.
That is correct. I don't know what it is, but we shouldn't be teaching kindergartners about it. What?
No, they think they know what it is, but they don't know what it actually is.
They're just saying all white people are racist. Like, I mean, we're not saying it. In critical race theory, we're saying it in other ways. Of course. Look, Republicans not understanding basic facts is the least surprising thing to me. You brought up critical race theory, so let's talk about it. Republicans are going ballistic about critical race theory, which they don't understand.
I didn't even see this in the docket. I went right to the DeSantis story.
I moved it up.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Yeah, no, I gave it the old switcheroo. Look, the critical race theory basically is there is a connection between Black Americans, their race, and laws, right? This was originally this class on critical race theory and the idea of critical race. Was a concept by a Black professor at Harvard back in the 1980s, I believe. And so the idea here is that critical race theory is supposed to give a more nuanced, detailed look at how American laws are disproportionately set up and affect people of color, specifically Black people in this case, versus white people in this country. To me, it is inarguable. Like, it's inarguable, but to others it is not. Like Brad said, people are literally being arrested at these like town hall meetings because they're afraid that their little kindergarten white kid is going to learn that grandma and grandpa are racist.
Because Fox News apparently last week on their programming mentioned the term critical race theory 1,300 times.
Yes. Well, Brad, it's critical. It's critical that we talk about it. This is a question I will pose to you, Brad, that I think is important, and I would like you to take it seriously. Are white people okay? I mean, what is going on? Conservative white people are losing it.
I was about to say, white people are not okay.
As a generality, no.
As a generality, white people are not okay. I'm fine.
Like, I'm doing great.
Yeah. No, like, so like schools are trying to teach history.
Yeah.
Is what they're trying to teach. An accurate view of history. Not a rose-colored view of history, as many not only many education systems have taught. Have you seen some of the textbooks in like southern states?
Yeah,
how they talk about slavery, how they talk about,
they call them workers,
yeah,
indentured servants.
Yeah. Like that's like at least my education in public school did not go to that degree in Maryland.
No, yeah. we definitely did not refer to slaves as anything other than that.
But it's still a very schools have not done a good job at teaching civil justice and the actual plight. Like I've learned so much more about real Black history in the last like 10 years than I learned in the first 26.
Yeah. No, so, of course. Yeah. I mean, look, Juneteenth, right? We talk again. Go listen to Black on Black Cinema if you haven't at the time you're hearing this. We talk about Juneteenth. Like, we didn't hear about Juneteenth because it originally started being celebrated in Texas in like 1980, right?
Right.
It just didn't make it to like the normal aspects of America, like especially American education, but Black American education, in the, you know, the Mid-Atlantic where we live, until maybe in the last like I was probably in my 20s.
Yeah.
When I heard the word Juneteenth, I was like, what the fuck is Juneteenth?
And I was old, and I was older than that. Like, I didn't even hear about it until like 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Right. Right. I mean, you're white, so I get it.
Yeah.
but seriously, right? Yeah. Like, so you don't know. But, you know, this idea of we shouldn't critically look at the world in which we live in sort of the basis of systemic racism is a very weird argument, right? Like, you don't understand where you're going if you don't understand where you came from. But, like, you just fundamentally can't understand that.
But these are the same people that can't apply nuance to any conversation about any peoples. In any, and like yeah. these are the same folk, like the same people that are fighting against this are the same, like, you know, all Muslims are terrorists, or like lumping right. everyone of a faith in with a radical ideology, that kind of thing.
Except for Christians.
Except for Christians. Yeah. Yeah. Which is fair, because I'm getting to the point where I'm just doing that with all Christians, essentially.
You're like, I get it.
They're radicalized until proven otherwise. but like, yeah, these are the same people who can't look at, you know, like their solution to like fixing Iraq was just like, I'll just bomb the shit out of them. You know what I mean? Like I'll just bomb. Like, well, that'll kill a lot of innocent people. Ah, fuck them. Like, that's their fault for living there. Like, okay.
Like, wait, what? Like,
that makes sense to me. All right.
Bomb Connecticut. What? Yeah. Like, they should have moved, dude. Like, all right. That's stupid.
No. So, like I said, I don't expect these people to be able to accept a harsher look at their history. And again, a lot of the folks that are fighting against this shit are from the South. And again, it's like you say, Jay, racist and racism is the N-word for white people.
It is. It is.
And by suggesting that America, this country that you love so much, has a history to continue to this day of systemic racism against black people, makes you feel like you're being called a racist.
Yeah.
And so that's why you're fighting it.
Yeah. I would love to have a conversation with them and be like, so do you know slavery existed, right? Oh, of course. It was terrible. It was disgusting. And we should never do it again. Yeah. Okay. Great. Do you think that any laws were made during the time of slavery that might have affected black people specifically? No, that's impossible. Really? You think it's impossible? Wow. That's weird. You don't think like that they pushed the Second Amendment was like, I know white people love to pretend that it's about hunting and gathering and all this other fucking woodsman.
No, not any more white people. Now the Second Amendment is about protecting your house.
No. I mean the history of it. Right?
Oh, the history of it?
They're just like, no, Daniel Boone or whatever with a coonskin hat. No, dude. It also allowed people, militias, to go and round up slaves with weapons. Like, that's a big part of that history. But I know it was Daniel Boone and also the – no, it's not. It's not about just hunting deer, dude. Like, maybe that's part of it. But that ain't the only part of it. Like, you got to look at that type of shit. Look, I'm old enough to remember when wearing a coonskin hat was a cool rap thing that people did. And I had one, which was fucking crazy. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
If only I had a picture of me wearing one of those.
Well, again, Americans can romanticize any part of our history. Like, this is the same justification that they're, right. You know, people are like, well, I need all these guns because what if the government turns tyrannical and starts oppressing me? I have to fight back. I'm like, okay, like, they have drones, but you're gonna die. But yeah, sure, your little fucking rifle will protect you, Hoss. Like, no problem. Yeah, so like I said, you can justify and romanticize anything you want,
right?
If you're these idiots, it would just be cool if you could use the like critical race theory is on the docket for the next term. That's gonna be meaningless in a matter of weeks because of how poorly it's been misused and associated with something that it isn't.
Yeah.
It's this year's cancel culture.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
That's absolutely it. Yeah. All right. White people, like, relax.
Yeah.
It's okay to get, you know, they don't want to get too woke. Right. You know, like that's what Matt Gaetz is pushing. This idea of getting too woke and using critical race theory to hurt cohesion in the military. And boy, did he get pushback today on that. So, yeah, critical race theory, guys. Brad is right.
Spoken like a guy. Well, listen, we'll get there. It's on the docket later. So.
Spoken like a guy who's going
never
to jail.
Was in the military. Well, that too.
Hopefully going to jail. Next up, Ron DeSantis. You know what? Let's actually jump to the critical race theory story with General Mark Milley, because it flows ever so nicely.
So, like I said, I've heard that this clip is amazing, but I haven't listened to it yet because I wanted to wait because I knew that we would talk about it this week.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. We're gonna talk about it, Brad. All right. So let me set this up first. During something that they had today in front of the House Committee on Armed Services, Matt Gaetz decided that he was going to pose a question about critical race theory and how he's hearing he's so full of shit. Again, you can be an idiot and get in the House for Republicans.
Yeah,
you don't have to know anything.
This is Matt Gaetz again exists not to ask actual like pointed relevant questions during these hearings. He exists to create Fox News sound bites.
Yep, that's it.
For Sean Hannity later on.
That is exactly it. So he was asking the Secretary of Defense, like, hey, I'm hearing from people who don't want to be named because they don't want backlash. I'm like, yeah, because they don't exist. Got it.
Two guys at a coffee shop.
Right. I mean, they were talking about how, you know, they were Joe Biden guys, but now they're going to vote for Trump. So he's saying to Secretary of Defense, like, look, I'm hearing from these people that are really worried about how critical race theory and like wokeness is being taught in the military, and it's hurting cohesion. And by the way, I'm hearing this from mostly minority groups, you know, like minority squadrons or whatever. Which, one, no, you're not. Two, they're not teaching critical race theory in the military. And I'll explain why they're not teaching critical race theory before I play this clip. And three, Matt Gaetz, shut the fuck up. Like, period. Just in general, shut the fuck up. Going back to why they're not teaching critical race theory in the military. Hey, spoiler alert. You ever talk to anyone who's ever been in the military? You ever talk about boot camp? Let me describe a story I've heard about Marine boot camp, from my boss who used to be a Marine. And I'm going to use some coarse and harsh language. I apologize. It's not me saying it. I'm quoting someone.
Yeah.
He said that when they showed up, he's a white guy from East Texas. From West Texas. He was like, look, there is, he's from East Texas. He's like, West Texas is like all the money and like, and all that, like oil fields. He's like, East Texas is a bunch of dirt farmers. He's like, that's where I'm from. Like, they don't have any money and it fucking sucks. Right. So here he like worked in a mine at one point, goes off, joins the Marines. He said that one of the things in the Marines, they were like, I don't care. And again, harsh language. I apologize. It's like, I don't care if you're a redneck, a nigger, a faggot, whatever. I don't give a shit. You're in the Marines now. You're all pieces of shit to us, right? Like, they don't give a fuck about critical race theory, and not that the military doesn't have history of racism and stuff like that. That's not my point. Before somebody goes, well, actually, like, yeah, look, I stand firmly on the military is no place for a black man. But their whole thing is that they will smash down everybody because cohesion. Even though the military historically has fought it in moments and then has lamented or relented, the whole point is in order to have cohesion, you have to make everybody look out for everybody in the middle of a fucking war. So the idea of like these things exist, like they don't believe in levels except for rank. Like you have to smash down everybody like properly, right? Like that's what they
My uncle is a former military or a former Marine drill sergeant. So I can tell you firsthand that this is absolutely the MO. Like you literally grind them down to nothing.
To nothing.
To build them back up again.
As Marines.
And you build this camaraderie. And that's why, like, what is it? The fucking thing they say, like, you know, God, country, you know, something core, whatever their fucking phrase is, right. their terms of priority, you know, the things that they love the most or that kind of thing.
Right.
Like that's where that shit comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this idea of like, oh, they're teaching woke ideology again. White people are like, or conservative white people. Are you just going on Twitter and just searching for words and then just sending them to Matt Gaetz? Cause he's just stringing shit together. Like his questioning, which I don't have the clip of, is nonsense. Like it doesn't make any sense. So he proposes that to Secretary of Defense. Secretary of Defense is like, we don't embrace critical race theory. Like, the fuck are you talking about, right?
Yeah, it's a legal term, you fucking lawyer. Like, you're supposed to be a lawyer. You're supposed to know this shit, you dumbass.
Right. So the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, tries to, like, get in on that. And he was like, no, I got something to say about that shit. And they were like, no. Matt Gaetz was like, I wasn't asking you. We don't have time. But then, later on, one of the Democrats was like, I'd like to cede a couple of minutes to General Milley, who clearly had something to say about this critical race theory thing. So this is General Milley responding to Matt Gaetz's question about this so-called woke ideology or critical race theory in the military. So you're going to want to hear this shit. This is amazing.
Sure. First of all, on the issue of critical race theory, et cetera, I'll obviously have to get much smarter on whatever the theory is. But I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read. And the United States Military Academy is a university. And it is important that we train and we understand. And I want to understand white rage. And I'm white. And I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? What caused that? I want to find that out. I want to maintain an open mind here, and I do want to analyze it. It's important that we understand that because our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Guardians, they come from the American people. So it is important that the leaders, now and in the future, do understand it. I've read Mao Zedong. I've read Karl Marx. I've read Lenin. That doesn't make me a communist. So what is wrong with understanding, having some situational understanding about the country for which we are here to defend? And I personally find it offensive that we are accusing the United States military, our general officers, our commissioned, non-commissioned officers of being, quote, woke or something else because we're studying some theories that are out there. That was started at Harvard Law School years ago, and it proposed that there were laws in the United States, antebellum laws prior to the Civil War that led to a power differential with African Americans that were 3/4 of a human being when this country was formed. And then we had a Civil War and Emancipation Proclamation to change it. And we brought it up to the Civil Rights Act in 1964. It took another 100 years to change that. So look it, I do want to know. And I respect your service and you and I are both Green Berets, but I want to know. And it matters to our military and the discipline and cohesion of this military. And I thank you for the opportunity to make a comment on that.
Thank you, General.
Boom.
Yeah, turns out you can't rise to the level of being the fucking chairman of the Joint Chiefs and being a fucking idiot.
Yeah, it turns out. Yeah. No, that was a dressing down that I like to see more of. And I like that, like, yeah, I want to know what it's about.
Goes to show you that, like, Republican thought process, like, this crystallizes it, right? Like, here you have a guy who says, like, look, to be able to effectively defend ourselves and manage the military, like, you have to understand many different schools of thought because people from around the world that you might be fighting with, like, aren't going to be coming at approaching things in the same method, the same way.
They all believe in democracy, guys.
Yeah. Like, do you think that fucking Americans, like, choke the shit out of communism throughout the Cold War by not understanding communism? Like, no, they absolutely understood what made communism tick, and it made it easy to fight that battle, especially on, like, an economic front and things of that nature, which exactly is what killed communism ultimately at the end of the day, is because it wasn't viable economically. You don't do that by just being like, oh, well, we're just going to fucking ride that capitalism horse to the moon. Woo! Like, it's going to be fucking great. No, like, you have to put programs
in place. I like the idea of a capitalism horse to the moon. That's
great. Well, I mean, what are you gonna do? But that's because Matt Gaetz is intellectually bankrupt because he can't see the value, and this goes for all Republicans, can't see the value in learning about this and learning what, as General Miley said, like, why does white rage exist? Like, why are these people, you know, feeling this way? Like, why are they doing this? Because that's the only way that you can combat it, is to understand it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, look, it was great. It was just an absolutely fantastic response, because it is undeniable that you can't fix something that you refuse to learn about. Like, you can't. Like, how can you even address it properly as an adult if you have no idea what the thing is? I guess Republicans feel like, well, I don't know anything about critical race theory, and I'm fighting against it. So,
but I mean, literally, that's what's going on.
Yeah, they don't know.
That's happening.
Like, are you really? What are you arguing against? There were never any laws that were unfair to black people. Are you sure? Are you sure? Dude, come on. Like, you don't believe that. That's crazy. But, you know, maybe some of them do, because they're dumb. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. I went to school. I read. I'm sorry. No,
but seriously, like, so, like, one law, for example, like take, like, literacy tests being introduced in Southern states, that you have to pass a literacy test to be able to vote, right?
Right.
These people literally can't make the connection between a group of people who were not educated because they were enslaved,
and they were threatened with death,
right? And against learning, and connecting that dot to, oh, now we're going to institute literacy tests to be able to vote. Like, that's literally excluding those people from voting without putting a law on the books that says, oh, you can't vote. That's literally a level of nuance that those people can't understand. It's the same reason why they can't understand that voter ID laws are also generally a bad thing, because the people that will be most affected tend to be poor people, tend to be minorities that just don't have an ID for whatever reason.
And you go into comments on any social media or anything like that, they're like, well, I have an ID. Oh, are we talking anecdotal evidence? Oh, that's a good argument. That's stupid. Also, yeah, you don't live in New York City where people don't drive, right? Like,
right,
they don't have IDs. For a lot of people, don't have IDs.
Well, and the argument is, well, there's white people that don't have IDs too. Yes, you're right. There is white people that don't have IDs. But again, it's not about a totality. It's about who's more likely. It's about likelihoods. Yes, of course, that when they passed literacy tests back in the South, you know, there were some white folks that probably got swept up in that as well, that couldn't vote because they couldn't pass the literacy test. I'm sure a lot of them probably got a wink, wink, nudge, nudge into the voting booth anyway.
Right.
But I'm sure there are some white folks that got caught up in that as well. But disproportionately, it was there to target black people.
Yes.
And those people, again, they can't make that connection between those two things. No. Like it literally has to be spelled out for them in, forgive the pun, black and white, in order for them to be able to understand how these laws affect people.
That's correct. Yeah. Well, Brad, I think what you're saying is those people are not that bright.
Well, you know,
I mean, I've been saying it for years. How long have you been doing this show? Yeah, dude, you can be an idiot and come off like a fucking genius over there. Next up, I mean,
like, seriously, like the fact that Matt Gaetz could be a lawyer and B a congressman makes me wonder where I turned wrong at some point.
Yeah. No, I truly believe that. I know it is not a thing you're supposed to say and it's offensive or whatever, but, like, fundamentally, the ideology of nuance and looking at things with layers doesn't exist on the right anymore. It is not that it didn't. Mm-hmm. It used to, but it doesn't anymore. It fucking doesn't. Like, it so doesn't exist on the right that Donald Trump was the president,
right?
Right? Like, he's not a guy of nuance at all. He's not a guy of layered understanding of anything. Of anything. Like, he is still, even to this day, incapable of intelligently talking about anything. Remember the conversation, like, the last episode we did about Bitcoin? Like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't understand.
And not only is it not knowing what you're talking about, it's the inability. And this isn't just him either. Like, Trump is the poster child for this, but this is a lot of folks on the right. It's not just that you don't know what you're talking about. It's the inability to admit that you don't know what you're talking about. Like if you don't know something, you'd preface that with saying, yeah, I really don't know much. Here's what I do know, and, you know, educate me more, that kind of thing. But there are people that don't want education, so they just pick up on whatever context clues that they picked up on through things they've heard or seen about it, and they pretend like they're fucking experts on the subject. Right. Like, it's insane.
Exactly. Like, who are they? Me? Come on. don't do that. You know, speaking of pretending to be an expert, and, you know, just like picking up context clues and trying to make big decisions, Ron DeSantis, signs a law. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, he's up for re-election next year. Come on, Florida, get it together, man. Please get it together. He signs a law requiring college faculty and students to take surveys on their beliefs. Spoiler alert, that's really unconstitutional and unacceptable.
So he's two for two then. This is the latest big legislation that he signed that's absolutely going to get thrown out at fucking court.
Now, by the way, I would fill out that survey and every answer would be, go fuck yourself, Ron DeSantis. Well, every single one.
So here's the thing. So when you poll people for stuff like this, for stuff that's obviously ridiculous, you're going to get some good stuff here. Because eight, nine years ago, EA Sports, for the first time ever, had like a contest where you could pick, like it was like a tournament style where you could pick the Madden cover athlete. People could vote on it, and you had like matchups, and they would, you know, two guys and one would move on, and they would do it like March Madness style.
Yeah.
And they had one player from every team eligible for the thing. So people being who they are voted for Peyton Hillis of the Cleveland Browns, who I think had like a 3-13 record the previous season to be the cover athlete for Madden 12.
Right.
Now, and to their credit, EA, you know, went along with that. But that's how you get like Bodie McBoatface stuff. Like, they, like,
yeah, this is the internet, right, man. It's like, come on.
and you're asking college kids to do this? Like, come on, man. Like conservative college kids might take this shit seriously, but most of them are going to be fucking having some fun with this. Yeah, I guarantee.
Eat shit, dude. So it's requiring state colleges and universities to annually survey their students, faculty, and staff about their beliefs to ensure, quote, viewpoint diversity and intellectual freedom. Well, you're trying to survey them so you can lump them all together in these big swaths, which would stop viewpoint diversity, right? It's like very like 1984 type of shit. He's gathering the information so that they then can push those state universities to teach more conservative shit, thus destroying viewpoint diversity.
Yes.
I know that conservative parents are always shocked and saddened that their little darlings go off to college and they come back and they're liberal and they go, oh, well, they're being indoctrinated at these colleges. Hey, Bubba, and Miss Bubba, your kids aren't being indoctrinated. They're learning. They're learning things. They are either unlearning false shit that you told them. They're unlearning false shit that they learn in their terrible schools. And they're learning more detailed, nuanced things because they're in college. And that's where you're supposed to learn critical thinking.
Yeah. Like it's, if anything, it's actually the undoing of the indoctrination that they receive from ages 0 to 18 in fucking Huntsville, Alabama.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Like, no, they're indoctrinating our kids. What are they doing? Well, they're questioning everything. That's the opposite of indoctrination, but okay. Like, that's the problem. Is it's like the classic thing as a parent. You're like, you're trying to teach your kid independence, but you're also trying to teach them to listen to you. Right? Like, no, be your own person. But also follow everything I say, right? Like, it's a hard line. So, but this idea of them being brainwashed or them being indoctrinated in college is false. They're just learning. They're supposed to learn. Like, what? That's what you send them there for.
Well, and to this point, like to back up the fact that this is just buzzword fucking legislation that they're throwing out there. Like, they asked DeSantis, like, well, what orthodoxies and what schools in particular do you think are doing wrong? And he's like, oh, you know the ones. And they're like, no, seriously, tell us, because obviously this legislation, you feel it's necessary, so you should be able to explain why. And he's like, you know what I'm talking about. That's literally his response. Like he couldn't name any specifics. He couldn't talk about, you know, what indoctrination is being taught to people. Like, I guess it's liberal indoctrination, whatever the fuck that means. But
yeah, like, all right. Yeah. Like chicks hooking up with other chicks, man. Like, it's crazy. Like it's so pathetic and weak that you can't accept people learning. Here's an idea. Maybe if your entire political philosophy and ideology wasn't based on keeping things exactly the same and never moving forward, people would embrace it more. It's hard for young people to embrace things that are old and stodgy when they look at their friends and go, yeah, well, my friend is trans, my other friend is black, my other friend is Asian, my other friend was foreign born, my other friend is this, my other friend is gay, my other friend is bi, you know, it's women, men, like whatever. It's hard for them to meet all of those people on a college campus and go, and I'm very conservative, and I think that X, Y, Z are the only options. Like, it's really hard for kids. Like there is a level of peer pressure, but it's a peer pressure to not be a piece of shit. Like, well, that's all it is.
And that's the thing is that it breaks the illusion. Because, like, you know, ostensibly, let's say you come from a conservative community and your family's super conservative and you go away to college, like, you might be under the belief that all these things are terrible, and then you get to actually know people. Like, then you get to actually meet right. people. Like you might be like pro birth, because I refuse to say what they say they are, because it's not true. You might be like a pro birth dude, and then you might have like a close friend that gets pregnant unexpectedly, and right. you might see them have to deal with that process in real time.
Right.
And see, like, the anguish that they go through. And let's say they do get an abortion and you get to see the aftermath of that. You're really going to tell that friend, well, you know, I don't think what you did was right. Like, no, you're going to fucking be there for them and not be a fucking asshole, unless you're right. just a prick.
Right.
But that's how people come around. That's how people change on these topics. Right. It works the other way, too, by the way. There are plenty of people who are pro-choice that then become pregnant themselves, can't bring themselves to do it, and have, like an epiphany on the subject and decide to go the other way. Like that happens as well.
Right. But a lot of times, mm-hmm. I'll piggyback on that the other way, right? When you're talking about like people who are pro-choice and then get pregnant and they're like, oh, I don't think I can do it. And they decide to just have the kid. Those people are pro-life for themselves. They generally are not suddenly like, we still need legislation to make sure that nobody can make a choice. They're not like that, right? Because there are plenty of people. Joe Biden is one of them, right? This week, the Catholic Church is like, let's not give Joe Biden communion.
Yeah, talk about alienating young people from your fucking club.
Like what?
Let's censure one of two Catholic presidents ever because he believes that abortion's not the worst thing ever.
Right. Like, hey, I'm pro-life. Like, Biden is pro-life. He's like, that is whatever the fucking Catholic term is, prima nocta or whatever it is. It's not prima nocta, but it should be called prima nocta. That's the good one. I got a message from the king for you. So he's like, yeah, whatever, like, the prima nocta thing. Like, that's what I believe in personally. But he's like, because that's my religion. But my job is not to, as president, my job is not to push my personal religious belief onto Americans. That's not my job, right? You know, I know some people got like really mad. I remember some people got really mad at Hillary for picking Tim Kaine because Tim Kaine is pro-life, but Tim Kaine is pro-choice politically. That's a really good fucking thing, right? Like, that he's a guy who goes, yeah, no, this is what I believe. But it's not important what I believe. Like, as a politician, my job is to protect and consider all people. And it's not fair to me to make that choice for anybody. That's it. Like, you don't, like, people are like, oh, I can't believe, like, no, he's allowed to have his own view, too. Like, you can't be so liberal that you become conservative in that. Like, that's ridiculous. That's why I'm pro-choice. You want to keep the kid? Great. You want to get an abortion of the potential of a child? That's on you. That's your choice. It's not my choice. People have to rack their brains with that shit. It's not my choice. I'm not in their situation. Mind your fucking business.
Yeah. Just imagine if the actual opposite of pro-life existed. Like, no, we will forcibly remove the baby.
Give me that kid.
Like, let's go.
Like, no, but I want, give it to me. Like, wow. So yeah. Ron DeSantis said Tuesday that the bill would prevent state schools from becoming, quote, hotbeds for stale ideology. What ideologies? Which ones? Stale ideology? Because you're a conservative. You know what that word means?
Yeah.
By all definitions, that's the stale one. Progressivism, not stale. Constantly changing, constantly moving forward. New letters added every day. Like, come on. Like, it is anything but stale. Sometimes it's so much that I'm like, whoa, am I caught up? I don't think I'm caught up. And then sometimes I feel like I'm not moving fast enough. But it's progressive. That's the point, is that the world, at times they are a changing. You got to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Not Republicans. They're like, fucking drive the stake at the 50-yard line and refuse to move. It makes all sense to me. Last but not least, in this section, we've got This Week in Stupid. Axios had an article called The Democrats' Wake-Up Call. Eric Adams, a former police officer in New York, seems to have won the New York primary for the Democrats. And he basically ran on being anti-defund the police, mm-hmm. which is interesting. And so, like, apparently Democrats in private and public spaces are warning that rising crime in the big cities may represent the single biggest threat to their electoral chances in 2022. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that, like we've been telling you for about a year now at this point, you should have picked a better slogan, because, again, there's – even though – we understand that when you say what you mean when you say defund the police, what right. that means, the people that are pro police either don't understand that or are not willing to make that understanding because it defeats the point they're trying to make. And like, even people who are like on the side of cops. So like Bill Bratton's been making the rounds because he just put out a book. Bill Bratton's a former police chief in like New York, LA, Chicago. Like he's been all over, and he's kind of like a police reformist okay. in a lot of ways. But even he like has struggled with that term, even though all the things he says that he'd like to see encapsulate what that term means, because exactly. he'll be like, no, I don't think we should defund the police, but we have the police involved in too many aspects of our daily lives that police aren't prepared to do them. Like, that's literally what defund the police
right.
means. But again, that slogan, that mindset, which is it's here to stay, unfortunately, doesn't lend itself a lot of nuance, unfortunately.
It lends itself to zero nuance.
Right. And it makes it very easy for moderates to sweep in that will be like, oh, we should actually like give more money to the police, because right. and when you have rising crime, with how the fuck have we been rising on gun deaths when there was a fucking pandemic going on, by the way? Like, well, explain that shit to me.
Because abuse.
Well, because domestic situations.
Yeah, domestic abuse, yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, so like you're opening up room, and if you're a progressive, that's difficult, because you need your message to be defund the police, because that's the only way that you'll excite progressives and get them on board to come out and vote for you. But you're also going to scare off a lot of like more centrist
and
Democrats.
And you need moderates. You can't win races. You cannot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know it's taboo to say in some circles, but you cannot win a race without moderates. You need them.
Eric Adams also winning. Well, probably, because they still have to go through all the ranked choice stuff in New York. But him probably winning the primary is also proof positive at this point that Twitter is not real life, and we need to stop treating it like it's real life. Because if Twitter was real life, then Andrew Yang would have had like 60% of the vote and ran away the fucking thing. So
I don't know why people think Andrew Yang was going to win this race.
because he was famous. Because he had the highest Q rating. That's why. That's literally why people thought. Because he's the only person that they had heard of previous to the race. That's why.
Keep in mind, the vast majority of those people saying that don't live in New York City.
Also true, which is, again, why Twitter is not real life.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Like real life is, you know, 40 to 50-year-old fucking, you know, people that are going out and not spending all their time doom scrolling Twitter and actually paying attention to local politics and voting on it.
Doom scrolling Twitter. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Yeah, that dude didn't even live in New York City. Like, he got, he was kind of a carpetbagger, which is hilarious to me.
But again, they don't care, because what cares is the message. And when you're faced with, you know, him and on one in the middle, and then to his right, even though it doesn't appear that way, but it actually is, you have fucking libertarian Andrew Yang, but I want to give everyone money, but I'm actually a libertarian.
Totally libertarian.
Yeah. I mean, he's a huge technocrat, basically. He would have been Bloomberg 2.0 in a lot of ways.
Yep.
And then
not nearly as effective.
No, not nearly. And then on the other side, you have a bunch of very progressive candidates, generally, that are running, that split a lot of their votes because they have a lot of similar ideology. And you're paving the way for a guy like Eric Adams to come through. I don't know much about Eric Adams.
Nope.
The fact that he used to be, you know, he was a police captain for a long time tells me a lot about Eric Adams that I can presume based off of that.
Good luck, New York.
Right. What was the Onion story I saw the other day? Like, Bill de Blasio looks at Democratic primary and says, ah, see, not easy to find a mayor who's not a piece of shit in this city.
I mean, you know, it's true. Oh, you got me again, Onion, with your facts. So let me propose a theory that I thought was really good. My wife was telling me she has this theory about America as it stands right now. And, you know, this,
it's not a critical race theory, is it?
Well, I mean, she is of a race, so yes, probably. she is critically minded. So the idea,
and she's an educator.
Yeah.
I don't like the sound of this.
I don't like these odds. So she was saying, before we move on to the This Week in Stupid, she was saying that she sees America like going through therapy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I just thought this was like such a really salient point. I shouldn't have mentioned her. I should have just stolen this idea from myself. no, but
she's not listening now or two. You totally could have got away with it.
I could have. Damn it. I'm too honest. So she was like, she sees it as like America going through therapy, mm-hmm. which, you know, a lot of people saw Barack Obama as like the beginning, like, we're doing it, baby. Obama, Juneteenth, it's happening, right? Like, it's all happening. But she was like when you go through therapy, like, Obama was us admitting that we had a problem and going to therapy. Like, that's who Barack Obama was, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a country. After our, you know, 43 disastrous nights out partying, Barack Obama.
So was Trump like the bender where you fall off the wagon after going to therapy?
Not so much the bender. And this is where I think the theory is really or in the analysis is really quite smart, is when you go through therapy, you unearth a bunch of shit and you are really, really vulnerable. And when you unearth shit, like, you have to be held very, very lightly by people who care about you. Because that's mm-hmm. when you're at your most vulnerable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trump is all of this shit that when Obama was elected, that started the conversation for some white people in America, conservatives especially, that they were like, oh, we can't deal with this. We can't deal with it. And it just started unearthing all of this shit. Like, you couldn't ignore it anymore, right? You had a black president and you couldn't ignore what was going on in the history of this country. And it started unearthing all this shit. And we have unearthed, like, fucking the Oath Keepers, and all of this shit has been pulled up to the surface, right? And now, like, you have to go through that. You have to go through the Trump part, right? Mm-hmm. That's a part of the therapy. So that when you're ready, then you can go to the more stable. Like, she's basically saying, like, Joe Biden winning makes a lot of sense because Joe Biden was that gentle halt after unearthing all of the shit that people just needed somebody, like, not moving too fast one way, not moving too fast the other way, right? Like, old Joe, you know Joe, it's fine, right? Got a dog to bite you, you're good, right? Like, you know the guy. And so America's like in a holding pattern, right? This is the part where we're at our most vulnerable time, right? It's going to take some time before you can go to a real progressive president, right? Because you got to do the work. You got to keep in therapy. You got to do the work before you can get it. So like, as sad as it always makes me when I see Elizabeth Warren making very salient points and I'm like, she should have been president. Maybe she shouldn't have been because it's not the right time. Right?
It's funny. It's too funny much of a shift. Too, because like I know that I'm still scarred from the Trump presidency, partially because in some ways the Trump presidency has not stopped.
That is also correct.
In some aspects. But I still like when Joe Biden does something that's like kind of like not the most progressive thing ever, but it's ultimately like not that big of a deal. Like, and progressives like bang him for it. Like, my knee jerk reaction is be like, just leave it alone.
Can we just have 4 years just quiet?
Like, imagine what this could be right now. God damn it.
Yeah. Right.
Like a fucking Trump one. And that's still like my knee jerk reaction, even though the criticism that they're levying is.
It might be valid. Right.
Absolutely fair. Right. I'm still just like not ready to give Biden like a pass on a lot of things yet.
Right.
Just because I'm still in the aftermath of Trump.
Right.
So
but so that's what I'm saying. Like, that analysis makes a lot of sense, right? Like, we need a moment to kind of just like you gotta relax a little bit. And that doesn't mean you get Biden to pass. That's not my argument. Like, you should be critical of him. But you have to understand where people are, right? Like, especially people who were on the sort of the front lines of that shit for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And like, not that we experienced it like deeper than other people or anything, but we were reporting on it and talking about it a lot and like giving analysis on it. That's exhausting. Like, it was, 4 years was fucking a lot. It just was. So it's interesting because, you know, once you get through that and once you're truly through it, then you are ready to make real change. And then maybe that's a president AOC. I don't know. But I think it's going to take us a couple presidents before we're there. I don't think you're getting there, you know, tomorrow or in 2024 or anything like that. The other thing I told her, though, I was like, this analysis makes total sense to me, except for one part that you have to remember, because politics is not linear, is while you're in therapy unearthing this shit and being gently held and doing the work and everything else – in politics, there's another guy in another room, and every so often he gets to come in. These are the Republicans. They just come in your room of therapy and just knock all the papers off the table every so often and then run out. So you like, it's not as easy as saying after 4 or 5 terms, like, we'll be there, because it depends on how many times you can keep that door closed for that asshole while you do the work. And if you can't, if you can keep the door closed long enough and do the work, then you can move out of it. I thought I'd just leave people with that. I just thought it was an interesting metaphor. It was very smart. I married a very smart person. That's all I'm saying. She's quite bright. Now let's talk about an idiot.
Which in turn makes you a very smart person.
It does, by the transitive properties of the universe.
This story that we're about to talk about, like my reaction to this was not shock. It wasn't surprise. Like, it was literally just, of course this is what happened.
Of course. That was pretty much it. I was like, yeah, that's about right. Yeah, that's fine. So apparently, Donald Trump, when he was president thousands of years ago, asked advisors and lawyers to look into how Saturday Night Live, yes, the Lorne Michaels sketch comedy show, and other late night shows could be punished after they mocked him. Two sources told the outlet, Business Insider, that Trump had asked aides in 2019 to look at what the Federal Communications Commission, U.S. courts, and the Department of Justice could do to SNL and other shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live. Trump tweeted in March of 2019, quote, "It's truly incredible that shows like Saturday Night Live, not funny / no talent, can spend all their time knocking the same person, me, over and over without so much as a mention of the other side." I mean, this is crazy.
Yes.
I think he was asked about this recently and he was like, No, that's not true. But they definitely should do that. like he couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself.
I love how he's like, it's because it's me specifically, right? Like as if
yeah,
as
not, if not SNL, other people.
As if SNL has never had like a guy on in the cast that always was there to mock the current, like to impersonate the current president. Yeah. Like that guy's always existed, and it's always done ridiculously.
Yeah. No, they had Chevy Chase play Gerald Ford, and he was like an idiot. I wasn't told there would be math. Like Dan Quayle?
On the sly, who might have had one of the best runs was when they had Phil Hartman do Reagan.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I didn't mind Phil Hartman as Clinton either.
As Clinton either, yeah.
Yeah. McDonald's one. Yeah, the McDonald's one is so good. They gave Bill Clinton a hard time for being fat. Like,
yeah.
You know, they make fun of Donald Trump for being like kind of a dummy, but they just never like ragged on him for being a big guy. Like, they didn't do that. Like, they shit on Clinton for being fat. And if you go back and look, he wasn't even that fat by today's standards. Nah, he was like average looking guy.
Normal.
They're like, look at this standards. Fat piece of shit. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Daryl Hammond's Clinton was pretty great. Like, he had him down, man. Like, Jesus, he was so good. Then he got on heroin. But yeah, Phil Hartman's was awesome. I mean, obviously, one of the all time greats was Dana Carvey as George H.W. Bush. Like, come on, like it was fucking perfect. But yeah, I mean, getting the FCC and the DOJ to go after SNL is fucking like, yo, this guy, they draw him as like Rambo and all this other shit. He is the most thin-skinned fucking wuss I've ever seen.
Well, and again, that's always been the irony of conservatives who like tout themselves like, oh, we like badass tough guys, like the side of the other. Like, he is literally the antithesis of everything you claim to love. And it's just because he says the racist things that you like, that you love him to say. That's it. That's the only reason. That's the only thing that's appealing. And you look past all the other shit, and not only look past it, but concoct alternate realities of the truth when it comes to him.
Yeah. Blue blood New Yorker, never served in the military, not an athlete, not anything. You know, I guess they like the fact that he's a ladies' man, but they also should hate the fact that he's just like out fucking everybody and cheating on his wife and fucking porn stars. All this shit, like all of that irrelevant. You know, like, oh, did he call Mexicans rapists? He's our guy. That's it. So, I just thought that was hilarious. Go get him. Like, SNL? Okay.
Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel live? All right. That was fucking weird. But, yeah, there goes our former president.
Yeah, but, you don't see Jimmy Fallon mentioned, though, do you, Jay? Because and that's how Jimmy Fallon likes it to be.
Yeah, leave me alone.
The fucking most fearless dude, the most fearful dude in late night comedy.
Yep. Yeah, well, remember he tussled Trump's hair, and boy, he paid for that. He was like, never again. Nope. No. I'm like, dude, I mean, I know people give Fallon a hard time for that. And I get it. Jimmy Fallon isn't the type of comedian to go after people. It's just not who he is. He's not. He's a love everybody, go along, get along kind of guy. That just seems to be his personality. And I like Fallon fine in that box. But that's why I like a Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien's a dick. And he's hilarious. And he'll go after people. Jimmy Kimmel will go after you. He don't give a fuck. Stephen Colbert will go after you. That's why they're great. Right? You need those guys in late night. Yep. And I'm sad that Conan is leaving.
I'll start with a Conan guy.
No?
I'm a Colbert guy. And I like Jimmy Kimmel. But yeah, I've never really been.
I feel like, well, Conan would be bigger if Jay Leno didn't fuck him over at the last minute. Because he was supposed to move to regular late night. Like, not late.
His style is so. Like, the reason that. Besides the fact that Jay Leno's a dick, like, one of the reasons that it didn't work out when he took over the Tonight Show spot is because he's very quirky, and his style of humor doesn't appeal to as wide an audience. Like, that's why Fallon taking over is perfect, because he is the safest fucking comedian that I could think of for that role.
I mean, I can see that because, you know, definitely late night skews much older.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, frankly,
I'm shocked Colbert has been as successful as he's been. And I think that's just because he was able to adopt the Letterman audience.
Yeah.
For the ride. And he's able to toe that line because he's on the edge of kind of being.
Yeah.
To the Conan side. But I think he's been able to keep it on the straight and narrow.
Right.
To be successful.
I like Conan probably the most out of all of them because I think Conan is like the. He's like the young rogue, right? Like his audience.
he ain't that young anymore.
Fuck, he's like 51 or some shit. But he's like the rogue, right? Like he does more sketches and shit. Like on TBS, he kind of found his own thing, right? And yeah. it was kind of cool. He just tends to skew, I think, our age more, which is fucking scary at this point. Like we're the late night audience. But I like Conan a lot. And he's got a show coming on HBO Max. So
that's interesting.
A sketch comedy show. So that and with him and Michael Che both having sketch comedy shows on HBO Max.
Yeah.
That's great. I will watch. All right. That is I think that's it for us. Brad, any wild predictions?
No.
End of democracy?
No, not yet. I'm curious to see what Chuck Schumer's plans are going to be to keep the For the People Act kind of in the forefront and to kind of modify that. Because again, I don't know what the end game is there that's successful without the filibuster being altered in some way. And until Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema come around on that shit, what are you going to do?
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they force his hand this week. Be like, All right, that was your test. Now what?
Yeah,
because
what do you want us to do? Like they won't even debate it. So what do you want us to do?
Because you say you believe in it.
Yeah,
you say you believe in it. So if you believe in it, then you fight for it.
Yeah, we put together a bill. We backed off on some stuff for you because there is some stuff that you didn't like that you thought was too far. We put in some voter ID bullshit to make you happy because for some reason you think this is the bee's knees.
All right,
we fixed it for you. They won't even listen to this shit. Now what?
I think you might get a carve out. I think you might get a filibuster carve out for it. I think you will.
Just put them on the floor. Make them talk. Just make them talk.
That's my thing, dude. That's all I want. You don't even have to fucking remove it. Make them talk. And the second they stop talking, boom, it's a 50-50 vote.
Yeah.
Let's go. Make them talk. Like, again. Why is that a Thugs of News fucking question? Just ask Kyrsten Sinema, be like, hey, could you stop doing this? Your thumbs down with your cutie patootie bullshit and just answer a fucking question, you giant child.
You read to say something else.
No, Brad, I wasn't. Like, what is wrong with me? She says that you have to protect the guardrails of democracy, whatever the fuck that means for her. Cool. That's great. Then make them talk. Make them get up there. And look, you can make the rules for the filibuster anything you want.
Right.
I'd be like, look, here's what you got to do. You got to get up there and you got to talk. After you get done talking, we're going to have 50-50 vote. You're like, there's no filibuster. That shit's done. You filibustered as long as you could. You fight it as long as you can to change people's minds. Whatever. Okay? My question to you is, or my feelings on that is you talk and you have to talk about that relevant fucking bill. You don't get to talk about green eggs and ham or some other horse shit or read out a phone book. You open your mouth and you talk about that fucking bill. You want to ban critical race theory? To talk about critical race theory for 24 hours. I dare you. You can't get through an article about it. Make them work for it, man. Now they just send an email or just go, you know what we'll do. They don't even fucking do it. They just threaten to do it. Nah, get the fuck out of here. At least make it a talking filibuster. Come on, man. That at least, look, if Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin are convinced after 24 hours of Ted Cruz is a bullshit, then fine. It is what it is. But at least make them work for it.
Yep.
Make them work for it. So, nah, fuck that. Fuck that. Nope. 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 So, it'll be interesting to see if, I think, whatever Manchin does, Sinema will follow behind.
Oh, no doubt. She doesn't have the spine to fucking go out on a limb
Nah, she ain't been there long enough. You think she's going to withstand the entire caucus? AOC, like, bumping up against her hard in the hallway? Like, get it together. You know, like, she's not ready for that. That's what I would do, by the way. So, yeah. Like, put the pressure on her, man. Put the pressure on Manchin. Like, you said you believe in this shit. Where's all, like, yo, we can't, like, the thing is, kill the filibuster so we can get shit done. Get shit done. Dude, if they got it done, if they got the filibuster gone tomorrow, they could get the For the People Act. They could get infrastructure, all of this shit.
And again, the thing that's frustrating is he's holding Democrats to a standard that he so far has not been willing to hold Republicans to. Like, because the standard that he's holding Democrats to is, I want you to debate. I want you to work with the other side. Republicans aren't doing that either. Just FYI. Right. They're just shutting the door.
And by the way, there are three sides. There are two. So if one is not willing to debate, it's fucking over. That's how it works. That's like saying, hey, we're going to have a football game. You, Team A and Team B, you're going to play. And Team B is like, no, we're not going to play.
Yeah, and you know what happens to Team B? They lose. It's a forfeit.
Yeah,
that's how it fucking should work. Oh, you don't want to fuck. You want to take your ball and go home. You don't want to come to the dance. Cool. We get to pass it then. I guess you didn't want to contribute.
Oh, that's not fair. We should be able to win now because we didn't play. Like, no, that's not how it works. Right. So you forfeit it. So you forfeited your chance at actual democracy. So what? That's on you. So come on, Joe. Get it together. Yep. Get it together. All right. That's it for us, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.